Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. If there's one thing that America can seem to agree on in these divided times, is that just about all of us love Dolly Parton. And the country music star has been popping up all over the place. Last month, she made Stephen Colbert cry as she serenaded him while she was promoting her new Christmas album, A Holly Dolly Christmas. That clip went viral. Then earlier this week, Dolly was back in the news, this time for her philanthropy. Back in April, she made a $1 million donation to Vanderbilt University and its research for our COVID-19 vaccine. Vanderbilt's research has helped Moderna develop their vaccine, which is showing promising results so far in drug trials. And the reason why Dolly gave that money? A conversation she had with her friend, Dr. Naji Abumrad. And if that name rings kind of a bell, it's because his son, Jad, is the creator of Radiolab here at New York Public Radio. Back in October of last year, Jad was on this show to talk about Dolly Parton's America, the 9-part series, which won the Peabody Award back in June. It explores how Dolly became an icon and why, even when we disagree on so much, Americans can unite behind her. I start off by asking Jad about when and how his dad first met Dolly.
Well, it was one of those fluky, fate kind of things. 2013, this is huge news in Nashville. She got into a car accident with her best friend, Judy. She was fine, but in the course of just, you know, making sure that she was okay, she was brought to Vanderbilt Hospital, where my dad is a doctor. He was one of the people that ended up giving her medical advice. And they met a couple more times as doctor-patient, and then stopped being doctor-patient and just started being friends. And so this was all kind of happening in the parallel to my own curiosity, because I kept seeing Dolly. I just noticed that people around me here in New York were so, like, you know, I don't know if you remember in 2016 when she came to Queens and did a show.
Oh, yeah.
People went bananas.
Oh, yeah.
So I was seeing that and then thinking, huh, it's so funny. My dad knows her. Maybe I could. And so, I don't know, two things came together and then suddenly here we are.
So when you first made that connection, what was your next step? Okay, this is happening. I'll make a podcast. What happened next?
Well, I mean, I initially thought it would just be a story. I was really interested in people who seem to be unifying at this point in America, even if it's just at a concert. But I kept bumping into people who would tell me stories about, I mean, that specifically about that Queens concert and how it was one of those situations where every different kind of person from every different political corner, from every different sort of socioeconomic, everybody was there at this one concert. And then I subsequently heard that repeated, that like at a concert in anywhere in America, you will see men in drag standing next to evangelical church ladies. They're all singing the same Dolly Parton song. And just that felt like such an alluring thing to investigate. So I thought I would sit down and talk to her and maybe we'd make a thing for Radiolab. But the experience with talking to her and then talking with people about her, people who think about her, is the experience of falling into a million rabbit holes. I mean, this is somebody who's been in the public eye for 60 years, so she's intersected with all of these political movements, and then so suddenly, like, you're talking about her music, and then suddenly you're talking about women in America, or you're talking about the South, or the history of Appalachia, or so many things. And I kept falling into these rabbit holes and thinking, oh, this is bigger than I thought. And so it went from one episode to four, and then I just kept adding. It just kept getting bigger.
She strikes me as humble and smart.
Oh, yeah.
So when you approached her about this, what was her initial reaction?
I honestly think she was doing it as a favor to my dad, if I'm going to be honest. and then, you know, she is very famously... she's kind of folksy, but also incredibly shrewd. And so in an interview, I think she's very used to controlling the interviews, as she did with mine for like the first four. But I think I just stuck around longer than most people stick around when it comes to Dolly Parton. With someone that's that media friendly and just
and
such
savvy
a,
and at the
savvy.
Same time.
Yeah, and just such a like a gifted storyteller. Like, you know, you go to her and you're like, I can talk to her for 10 minutes and I can use 9 minutes and 45 seconds of that interview because it's all good. And so she's used to that kind of interaction. And I think initially I was just another one of those people, but then I kept coming back. And then I think she got confused at a certain point. Was like, why are you still here? And we followed her to the UK and we just sort of shadowed her for so long. Yeah, I think that was weird for her.
My guest is Jed Abumrad. We're talking about his new podcast, Dolly Parton's America, a 9-part series. Is she aware of her power? Is she aware that she is a conduit between so many different kinds of people?
Most definitely. Most definitely. You know, I think you see it in a couple different ways. I mean, she's very aware of, she will not tell a story unless she's in control of that story, you know? And so in that sense, she absolutely understands how the stories are being heard and received. And, you know, and also, I think one of the interesting things of talking to her is this is like the 10th Dolly moment. This is not the only Dolly moment. So I think she's sort of seen the cycles, you know? I mean, in 1973, she leaves the Porter Wagoner show, blows up as a massive star, and then she's making 9 to 5 and she's crossing over. And that was like the Dolly explosion. But then there were the 90s when she was a huge star, but only for certain demographics. Mm-hmm. And now she's back. And so for her, this just feels like part of the ebb and flow of things. But at the same time, I think she does get it, that she's appealing to the coasts in a way that she never has. She's appealing overseas in a way that she never has. Her demographic in the last 7 or 8 years has completely flipped. It was over 80 mostly, and now it's between 18 and 45 mostly. So I think she sees that, but she's remarkably consistent through the entire thing.
Part of the whole Dolly Parton experience is her presentation.
Yeah.
Clearly, right?
Yeah.
And there's something about it which is authentically her, but also is a bit of a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of knows this. And you touch on this, and you're very delicate about it. When you meet her, does she present, even for a radio interview, does she come as full Dolly, or does she come as lowercase Dolly Parton? Or is she on stage Dolly?
She is full Dolly. I mean, the first time I met her, this was maybe a year before we sat down for our first interview. I sort of twisted my dad's arm. I was like, Dad, come on, introduce me. So he takes me to the Dolly compound, which is in the center of Nashville. And it's just like a room like this room, like pretty ordinary room. And then she kind of walked in, and it's the trippiest thing ever to see Dolly Parton of the TV suddenly in the room, looking exactly the same, really small. Like
she's tiny.
Very small, yeah, 5'1", maybe. But still had that kind of massive, larger-than-life persona. And, you know, 500 bangles, jewelry, like all, it's, yeah, she was full Dolly. I don't think she goes out unless she's full Dolly.
And to your point about her being media savvy, in the first episode, she says, I need to take off my jewelry. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows that she needs to have clean audio.
Yeah, and I left that full thing in. I mean, it took her 2 minutes to take off the jewelry. I left all 2 minutes in.
You know, they say about country music, it is 3 chords and the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you really get it, a lot of that in her songwriting, because she's an amazing songwriter. Aside from all of the artifice, that I think is at the heart of what is true about Dolly Parton and why she touches so many people is her songwriting. And you get into that in the first episode about her ability to write about really difficult issues, suicide, abortion, in a way that people can receive them.
Hmm.
When she started talking to you about suicide, she talks about a point in her life, mm-hmm. and she thought about taking her own life. One, did that surprise you that that story came up? And after that or before that, did you have any conversations about what was going to be, what the parameters were going to be about personal information?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a sort of we didn't have any preconditions. You know, she was very good at drawing boundaries when she needed to, and I certainly didn't want to press. And you know, I'm not the first to encounter that story. I mean, that story had kind of surfaced 5 or 6 years ago. And for me, the reason to talk about it was that it's all in her music, you know? I mean, you start with her music. Once you get past the persona and you go back to 60s, 70s Dolly, and you look at what she was writing then, it's an ocean of darkness. You know, I mean, it's stories of abortion, adoption, women being committed to mental asylums by their husbands just because their husbands want to get rid of them. Every different kind of story that she was seeing around her. Not the Dolly that you sort of encounter when you turn on late night TV. At least me, I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who grew up in the 80s. And so it was just really interesting to me. I wanted to dig into these songs, and it turns out these songs are drawn from the women around her. And so she has 5-6 songs in those in that early period that are about suicide. So for me, it was a natural question. Like, this is a motif. Where does this come from? And that tumbled into a story about her own difficulties. And, you know, I mean, that was a moment where she said, there are things I don't want to talk about, and there are things I will talk about. And I completely respect that. Because for me, the thing that I'm most interested in is the stuff she has created in the world. I don't necessarily want to talk about her husband too much, which is something everybody talks about. I want to talk about all this culture, like Dollywood, the song, 5,000 songs, the way in which she's become so important.
My guest, Jed Abumrad, the name of his new series is Dolly Parton's America. You get right in it in the first episode. We talk about how Dolly is a boss. She's in charge of everything, but there's certain language that she will use and won't use. So let's play a clip from Dolly Parton's America, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Do you think of yourself as a feminist?
No, I do not.
She shot that right down.
I think of myself as a woman in business. I love men. And I really, because I have a dad, I have all those brothers, all my uncles I love, my grandpas I love, and I relate to them. And I write a lot of songs about women because I am a woman, or I just write songs that women experience. But I write a lot of songs for men. In fact, I've had hit songs, you know, by men. I write songs about my dad, the dinner bucket song. Every time I hear the sound of a train coming down a railroad track, hear a big jet plane flying high, I'd like to throw my hammer down right off to some distant town, not even take the time to say goodbye. But I got to think about my babies, about my, you know, my wife and my old ladies, and about how much she'd miss me if I was gone. So I write about working men. I write about gamblers. But I write songs for men. And about men and their feelings, too, because I know how they feel. Mm-hmm. I look like a woman, but I think like a man. But I think like a woman, too.
It's so classic. The reason I want to play that, aside from, I mean, it's self-explanatory, but then the other avenue that you go down in the podcast is then you go down this road about what feminism means to certain people. Describe how what we just heard from Dolly, how it evolves in the podcast and what you hope that accomplishes.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be honest, like I didn't, when I asked her that question that you heard, I thought she would be like, yeah, totally. Because I live in the New York bubble and the young women around me were just took it as fact, as gospel, that she is one of the most important feminists of our time. So I just figured that was unarguable. And then it was interesting, her reaction kind of got me curious. So for me, Dolly's refusal to be labeled feminism sort of opened up a wormhole to looking at, like, these labels, how do they serve us? And the fact that she won't call herself that, I think, allows her to travel between that class divide in a way that very few people can.
What are some of the topics that you'll get to during these nine episodes? Possibly 10.
we may have some bonus episodes, so we might actually push past 10. But some of the topics we're going to get to... the title, Dolly Parton's America, to be totally transparent, was taken from a class at the University of Tennessee called Dolly Parton's America, which was 12 high school seniors, all of whom had grown up their whole lives in East Tennessee, most of whom were the first to go to college. They were assigned Dolly Parton as a history exercise because the teacher, Lynn Sacco, was teaching them how to use sources. And she said, let me use somebody who's important to them. And so Dolly Parton becomes this, for them, a way to talk about Appalachian history, which is a crazy and twisted history. So that's an episode. We're going to talk about Dolly Parton's America as they see it. We're going to go into Dolly's very particular approach to politics in an episode that we're calling Dolitics. So yeah, we're going to look at the history of the South. There's an episode on faith that I'm really excited about. Her very interesting brand of faith. Yeah, just going all over the place, really.
Want to give a shout out to your producer?
Yes, absolutely. So it's a two-man woman team, myself and Shima Oliai, who we have been sort of traveling this journey together for 2 years.
That was my 2019 conversation with Radiolab's Jab Abumrad about the award-winning podcast Dolly Parton's America, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Dolly's back in the news this week because of her $1 million donation to Vanderbilt University's work on a COVID-19 vaccine, a donation she made after a conversation with her friend and Jab's dad, Dr. Naji Abumrad.